Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading is from the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk. Excuse me, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commandment for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
O God, you are my God. Eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land, where there is no water.
Therefore, I have gazed upon you in your holy place, that I might behold your power and your glory.
For your steadfast love is better than life itself. My lips shall give you praise.
So I will bless you as long as I lift and lift up my hands in your name.
My spirit is content as with the richest of foods, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips.
When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in night watches.
For you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice.
My whole being clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast.
Our second reading is from the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing on the, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It was a long disruption of everything that was normal. People were displaced in their livelihoods, among their families, and in all that they knew. Cultural and religious institutions were interrupted. In some cases, they did not survive. They were totally destroyed. The disruption was so acute and prolonged that whole generations had no memory of what existed before. In such times, hope is a very hard thing. In Isaiah's telling of the story of Israel and the Babylonian captivity, those early parts point to a call to repent, a call to be changed in direction, in heart, and intention. There is promise that God will gather all who are dispersed and bring them together. But then the unthinkable happened. The Babylonians invaded. The temple was looted and destroyed. The wealth was pillaged. The aristocracy and artisan classes were carted off. Others who had been displaced from other lands were brought in. It was a mess. A long, horrible mess. And Israel's tone changes to one of hope. Isaiah's tone changes to one of hope, of promise, of possibility, of restoration. Where too easily the events are associated with divine retribution for failures of the religious, cultural, and political leadership, Isaiah holds up a sign that God is all about compassion.
human construction of reality exacts a price for most everything. Yet the promise through Isaiah is that all who thirst, all who hunger may come to be filled without cost. Too often human consumption focuses on things that are not life-giving. God calls on people to focus on and receive what is good, what sustains, what gives life. Here is a reminder that God's ways are so very different from human ways. God tells the faithful, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Though the disruption I noted at the beginning was the Babylonian captivity, those sentences could have referenced the past 2 years when the world entered pandemic protocols. That time displaced livelihoods, families, and all they knew. Churches shifted into new frontiers of worship, even as the way we've always done it was interrupted. Some people, some businesses, some institutions, some churches did not survive. School children have gone through years of education in abnormal times that have become their normal. The people of God yearn to hear these promises that through God's compassion, the people will be restored, regathered, brought together for a banquet of all good things. There is a way that people hunger for the fulfillment of covenant grounded in God's steadfast love. To be sure, this congregation has attended to God's faithfulness, to God's mercy, and now to God's compassion. In so many ways through Scripture, all of these attributes are interwoven. And yet, in spite of the witness of Scripture, humanity struggles to focus on God's reign of steadfast faithfulness, mercy, and compassion. Instead, people too easily distract from the underlying reality to focus on the crisis du jour. In their encounter with Jesus, we hear of people who recount horrible things happening to Galileans whose blood was mingled with their sacrifices by Pilate. We remember that Pilate represents the current occupier, the current empire that has taken possession of Judah. Then, as I suspect now, there is an all too human tendency to ascribe calamity to some character or action or failing of the victim. In the human economy, people often deserve the bad things that happen to them. Their approach to Jesus is a distraction from God's ways to human ways, from God's economy of compassion to the human economy of a fixed good. Jesus calls those who hear, including you and me, to be changed in mind, in heart, in perspective. We call this reality of being changed repentance. Repent, be transformed, enter and live and see through the eyes of God's mission and intention. What is more, hear a parable, a story that reminds us that in Jesus, there is a call for forbearance. Though the owner is ready to take out the fig tree, the gardener asked for one more year. To be sure, there is discussion about whether a three-year-old fig tree is mature enough to bear fruit. To be sure, there are questions about having a fig tree planted in a garden anyway. In the end, The promise is that God's compassion allows for time to mature into a new way of being, a new way of seeing, of acting within the reign of God. So indeed, repent. Allow your spirit to be transformed into a response that is filled with and responds to the higher way of compassion and of the life-sustaining food for our journey. We know this life-sustaining food to be the Word of God, revealed through Scripture and manifest in the person of Jesus Christ, whom we receive in the sacraments. In these, the faithful receive life and strength for the prevailing reality of crisis after crisis that confronts us. In these, the faithful mature in ways that bear fruit in the reign of God.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.